We are thrilled to welcome Amy Ray back for an in-studio visit this week. Over the years, Amy has, of course, appeared with Emily Saliers as the duo Indigo Girls. For nearly 40 years, they've been a recording and touring unit, but there's another avenue for Amy Ray, her solo career. She debuted with the album called Stag in 2001, and through a series of albums since, Amy Ray has created punk, country, folk, and Americana records featuring stellar bands appropriate for each genre of music. Her seventh album arrived last fall, called If It All Goes South, featuring Amy's reflections on her home in Georgia, growing up gay in Southern culture, and themes of social justice that presented themselves in vivid new ways during the pandemic period. It's definitely an Americana album, and on a recent tour, Amy brought the whole seven-piece band to our studios for some of the new songs and to discuss If It All Goes South and more. Amy Ray returns this week as our in-studio guest at Acoustic Cafe.
This is like the third analog recording that you did. So for the audience that they understand, you recorded to tape.
Yeah.
These are players in a room playing to tape, analog tape, like the old days.
Yeah.
It isn't done much anymore. It is a very different process. But talk about how it's not pressure so much as just there's an edge to getting it right.
Yeah. There's an edge for everybody to get it right. People in the control room, it's the ultimate collaboration, you know, to me in a studio, because it's a team. The people in the control room are controlling your gains the whole time, and like they can't make a mistake. And then when you're playing, it's more of a burden for them than you, because if you have a good performance and they did something wrong in the control room, they feel terrible, you know. But if you screw up, you don't feel as bad, you know what I mean? You feel kind of bad, but it's like, you know, you're like, well, we'll start again. But within the band, though, there is that pressure of, like, if someone's having a really good, you know, moment in that song, and then you do something you don't like that you did, it's the conversation of, like, what serves the song? You know, should we do it again? Because we did cut some tape and splice some takes together.
Okay.
And if you wanted to overdub something and replace what you did, which might have happened once or twice, you had to really make a case for it.
On all three of these records, I mean, you've worked with veteran musicians here. But, I mean, there are younger musicians coming up. Was anybody really new to the tape process? Like, they said, oh, wow.
You know what? The string players were. They are young enough to where they missed that complete era. I mean, I did tape for however many, through, like, Swampophilia, I think, through, like, 95 or 97, and then it was all digital after that. But there's a lot of people that play right now that are, you know, accomplished players that have been doing it for a while that have never experienced tape.
Yeah.
So they were very giggly and and like kind of amused by how the pressure felt to get it right. Because because it's like four string players and the whole band. And it was fun to see them reactive. And Sarah Giroux also reacted to the tape too.
Interesting.
Because she was like, oh, yeah, oh, this is, okay, totally. Because we brought her in on the last day. She just came in and we had rehearsed everything and had just ready to have her slot in. And she was like, oh, yeah, okay, live, yeah. Yes. Like, yeah, so, but we let her overdub her vocal so she could just, on tape, you know, which still has to go down live, really. So she could just focus on Mandy.